Oh my God, virgins, y'all see where y'all at?
Y'all back inside the
crib, yo. Like, look, y'all see?
Like, I cannot believe that we're back together again. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to be back with you all. This is episode 26. And tonight we're going to be talking about moving from a small town and going to the big city lights. What is that like? Tonight I have with me my guest, the beautiful Lynn Jones. She is from Alexandria, Louisiana.
Yes.
And I'm going to let her share a little bit about herself.
Hello, everyone. Well, like she said, my name is Lynn. I'm 31, single.
You hear that? Y'all go ahead, email Akilah Miles. Go on to AkilahMiles.com site and send me an email if you're looking.
Please.
Okay. I'm with it. Love connection.
Yes, all of that. But So anyway, yes, I'm originally from Louisiana. I've been in Houston for 7 years now. Pretty much adjusted to the city, I can say. I learned my way around.
What part of the city do you live in?
I live in North Houston.
Which part of Houston do you think is the best part of Houston?
Ooh.
Because I remember when we were out eating, everybody was like, the North is where it's at. And I was like, but I was told the North was the hood. Don't go over there after dark.
No, that's true.
But I don't know. But like,
I live in a good neighborhood. So I wouldn't say the North side is all bad.
Okay.
Because I live in a predominantly white neighborhood. So it ain't a lot of crime over there.
Okay.
Now, the other boroughs and the hoods of the North, yes. But where I'm at, I'm okay. It's okay. So I would probably, like, I'm staying on the North. I'm not moving to the South. Like, at first I was thinking, okay, maybe I can go a little, you know, come out here towards Pearland, but no.
Okay, okay.
It's a no for me.
Okay. Well, this is nice to know. I stay in Southeast. This is, like, more Southeast Houston. I don't know. Who sings that song? Is it Big Mo? The South Side? South Side? Who is that? I don't know. That's a song. Like, when I came here, everybody was like, you don't know what's... I was like, no, baby, I'm from Mississippi. Like, I mean, I can learn dance with y'all. I can do that. Because they will break out into that dance, honey. They will break out into that dance, faithfully. But, so, actually, on July 31st of this year, they made 4 years here. Because I moved in 2016 on July 31st. So I've been in Houston for 4 years. I've been in the same spot, Southeast Houston. I have gone on the North side a couple of times. Forgot what somebody told me and went in.
Came back over here when I realized I was in the wrong part of the North side. I came back over here. But like I say, I think it's all areas because I do stay in Sunnyside, so don't get it twisted. When I Googled, I was like, okay, let me see where I'm moving to. And I Googled Sunnyside, and when it popped up, it was like, this is the number one murder capital in Houston. This is where most of the deaths take place. And it was like that for a while. And it could still be that way. I don't know.
It is.
Lynn says it is. Because we did hear gunshots sometimes in the classroom. So that is true, but we were always safe on our campus. And during Hurricane Harvey, I do live in a good area. I did research it when I came out here, like trying to make sure that I stayed in an area as far as like it having like elevation to where it wasn't like predominantly flooding, because the year prior to Meyerland had flooded ridiculously. And it was like all these memes and different things on Facebook, like showing like how cars were underwater. So I researched it and came over here. And also that year prior, the people here, they didn't unlock the gates. Like we have these gates that you have to have a code to get in. The gates malfunctioned because of the storm the year before, 2015. And because of that, when Hurricane Harvey came in 2017, they were like, we're gonna leave the gates open because we don't want you all to get stuck on the inside. And that's how some little boys got in to break in. They broke in all the cars over here and they stole my truck. So I've had my truck stolen. I think one of the apartments got shot in over here, but it was like somebody was shooting from across another way and a bullet just happened to come in through their house. Nobody was actually shooting at them. But other than that, it's a decent neighborhood from what I know. So, again, we're talking about tonight, Virgis. If you're thinking about it, I know a lot of people in in small towns, rural areas, predominantly black rural areas, normally want to get out of the wherever they're at. My production manager, Anthony, is adamant about moving to California once he graduates. He is over Houston. so he's adamant about going to like California. So, you know, like when you stay in certain places, you really want to leave sometimes. And most times when you want to leave, it's because you're trying to better yourself, right? You've probably reached that level of success that you could there, or you haven't had the opportunity to do it because there are no jobs or anything available. So, Lynn, you want to share like how you got from Alexandria to here?
So let me take this back though first, because I started thinking about some crime that was in the north side when I was over there.
Okay, cool.
So like when I first moved here, so not my first apartment, but my second one, I don't know like if people were just like watching me or like the younger boys in the neighborhood, but like they just kept trying to kick my door down.
Oh wow.
Shooting little BB guns through my window. Like I was just
And you still love it?
No. Well, not in that area no more, but...
Oh, my.
But I moved from there. But I was just thinking back to, like, I really had a lot of crime. Like, even one night I came home, like, I think it was, like, Thanksgiving. And I see, like, a group of boys running, you know, from out the gate. And I was like, well, what's going on? So I pull up at home, and my neighbor's like, oh, they was trying to break in your apartment. I'm like, what?
Oh,
so he was like, he had to scare them off with a gun.
Oh, that is...
I really forgot about this stuff.
See, like, you know, see, they said now, when I moved out here, they were like, Akilah, do not go on the north side when it's dark. Don't go over there at all. And I was like, but, you know, normally, like, the north areas are a little bit safer. Not out here. He was like, no, not out here.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go over there.
But I don't think the south is either.
What, safe?
Yeah.
I mean. Nah. Cause it's dead end right over here.
Right.
And dead end means just that. Dead end.
Exactly. So it ain't safe over here either, y'all.
Yeah.
For the record.
True. But is it really safe anywhere though?
No, it's not. It's not. Cause even like the other, like, say the Woodlands or Spring, I hear about crime there too. So it's no safe nowhere around here.
Woodlands in the Spring area, if y'all don't know, Burgess, these are like the upper class areas, those what would you call those neighborhoods? Those suburban neighborhoods. Yeah. Right.
The blue collar.
The who?
The blue collar neighborhoods.
The blue collar neighborhoods, correct. Those neighborhoods. Teachers need to be able to be blue collar people. And we can't.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to share that tidbit. Yeah. So what made you, for me, I had reached a point, I had been teaching for 2 or 3 years at the school district that I was at. There was a lot of different things that were transpiring that sort of caused a lot of friction in the school system where I was at. And I don't know about you, but in my small town, when people get in position, like if they get like a good job, good position, they retire in their position.
They stay there, right?
They stay there. Like, and you don't have an opportunity. You're going to be 50 something when you get the spot.
Right.
Because
they move up. Right.
Damn, they're dead by the time they get out of it. So it was either, it was like I had to flee. Pretty much, like, you know, like I had to leave because I didn't want to go back to the casino. I worked in the casino industry, made decent money in the casino industry too, but to me the casino industry is fleeting, and especially like now with what's going on with COVID-19. But then it was like things were happening, the things with the casinos were actually dying down, and I didn't want to go back to the casino. So I was like, now is the time. I've always wanted to go to either Houston. My eyes were on Houston, New York, or Atlanta. New York immediately got scratched when I realized that for $1,000 I would get the size of my living room, and that would be all I had. So I immediately scratched New York, because I was like, ain't no way I'm finna pay $1,000 to have everything in one room.
Right.
So I called a close friend. Shout out to T Nunu, Tia. I called her and I was like, so what all did you do? Because I'm ready to leave. And she connected me with some people in New Orleans, and I started applying for jobs to teach in New Orleans at different charter schools, and actually got a job there. And before I got the job in New Orleans, I was like, well, shit, I had at least like 8 interviews in New Orleans. I was almost every other week I was going to New Orleans to do a sample teach. And I was like, well, okay, if New Orleans checking for me, I'm gonna, you know, put my foot in the water and see what Atlanta do, what Houston to do. And I applied for Kip Intrepid. That's where I applied it. Kip Intrepid, because they had like English teacher positions open. And Sunnyside called me and they were like, Sunnyside called me the day after I had accepted a 7th grade English position. They were going to pay for everything, pay for me to move, and I was supposed to start in July. Sunnyside called the next day and they were like, yeah, we saw your stuff and we really want you to come out here and teach 12th grade English. And I lost it because I was like, oh my God, 12th grade English? That's really what I want to teach. I was just accepting the other job.
Right.
But I really want to teach 12th grade English because I had taught 9th, 10th. I hadn't taught 11th at this point. I had taught 9th and 10th. I hadn't taught 11th then. So I was like, I got to pray on this. I don't know. And the young lady from the New Orleans school, she called me and she was asking me some questions. They were asking me like career path, because you had one manager that was going to manage you for school, and then you had another manager that was going to be working with you to manage you for your trajectory with your career, like what you were going to do. And in my mind, Sunnyside had English, they had 12th grade English, and that was what I wanted to do. So I sent them sample teaches, and they wanted me to send them something with my former students, like sharing stuff about me. I sent them that, and then I got a call from I had the assistant principal and the head principal of the school that I was at. And the head principal was like, Miles, I think you got it. And I was like, why you say that? He was just like, they gonna call you. I think you got it. I was like, okay, cool. And then the assistant principal called, and she was like, she called me sis, because we are Eastern Star sisters. She was like, sis, you got it. I know they finna call you right now. I was like, okay. And I got the phone. I was like, Lord, if they call me, I'ma call New Orleans and I'ma rescind my offer. I'ma rescind my, you know, confirming that, you know, like I was gonna come. And they called me and they were like, well, we want you to come out. We're gonna have this, this, that, and da, da, da. I was like, going to Houston. And I immediately called the lady, and then she was like, it was so sad. I felt so bad because the lady had just sent me like this little video to watch with the kids in it and talking about like what we were gonna be doing in New Orleans and how we were gonna be pumping new life into New Orleans and la, 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 la. And I was like, yeah, that's an amazing video, but I'm gonna have to decline your offer. I'm so sorry, I can't come. She was like, but we were planning for you to go to Kip has like these big things, what do they call? It's not RPE. What is it that they have in the summertime? What is that?
Kip
time. It's this big thing where everybody gets together. I can't think of the name of it, but they had this big thing, and it was at this time it was in Las Vegas. Kip New Orleans was sending me to Las Vegas. Kip Houston was like, we can't pay for we not gonna pay for your travel for you to move, and no, you ain't gotta go to New Orleans. I mean, you ain't gotta go to Las Vegas. And I was like, okay. But I wanna be in Houston, so I'm gonna go. And I looked it up and it was close to Third Ward, and I was like, okay, I know, I heard about this area, da da da, whatever. So that's how I wound up out here. How about you?
Okay, interesting. So, my parents, they originally moved here after I graduated high school. So I already kind of knew I was going to move here. Like, I had been coming here all my life, visiting family, shopping, whatever, just coming, spur of the moment trips all the time. So I came right after college. Like, soon as I graduated, like, maybe I might have stayed like another week. And then I immediately moved straight to Houston. And I'm a gremlin night, by the way. Gram fam.
It's so sad.
This girl's a hater.
She is a hater,
girl. And we do not like those Braves.
That's unfortunate. I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. So, I immediately came. And I knew I didn't want to stay with my mama. I was like, okay. Like, I thought they was going to have me a place when I got here, but that plan kind of fell through. So when I got here, I immediately started applying for places, looking at places. And like within a week, I found somewhere. So I moved out from her, and then I got my own spot. And then the job search was kind of tricky. So I'm a nurse. So being in the nursing field, I don't know. Houston just like had like the hardest interviews. Like, they really technical and deep. Like, I had an interview at MD Anderson. This was the hardest interview I ever had in my life. Like, I was sweating because I was like, it's so much pressure. Like, I never felt that from an interview. I thought it was supposed to be, you know, cool, yeah, just a regular little talk, but no, it was like really serious. Like, they serious over there. So they asked me like different scenarios and things like that, you know, what I would do, what I wouldn't do, what I have done, just standard stuff, but it was just technical for me. So after that, I did a few more interviews, and then a friend of my mom's actually knew people that had a home health agency and they was looking for a nurse. So I went and applied, I got the job. Started working, started making money, and I mean, it was like money that I hadn't seen before. So it was different for me, because I mean, I had money in my life, but not my own money. Just like, you know, $6,000-$7,000 every month, like that was big for me. So, the first few years, I was kind of like blowing my money. I ain't gonna lie, I was shopping, I was traveling. It's just me. I don't have no children, so I can do whatever.
Exactly.
But I should have been saving a little more, but I wasn't. I mean, you in the city, so it's like you want to try to conform to it. You want to do what everybody else doing. You want to go out. You want to have fun and meet people and party. So I was doing that a lot. I can say that.
And ain't nothing wrong with it, though. I think we can't beat ourselves up for that. Like, just because we didn't save as much or do as much, like, you still got to be able to enjoy yourself. And then when you get that mindset of, like, you know what, I need to save then.
Yeah, it's time to be responsible.
Yeah.
So when it was time to be responsible, I started being responsible. But I can't say the first 2 years I enjoyed. Like, I just had it. It was just a good life for me. It still is. But right then, like when I first got here, my mama, like, she paid my bills and rent for the first like 3-4 months. So I was real good. Like, I know, what a blessing. So I ain't have to pay nothing. Like, then I went and got me a new car and everything. So I just really enjoyed it. I still enjoy Houston. Like, sometimes I think about leaving just because I want a new environment, I guess. Just want to try something different. But then I'd be like, no, I like Houston. It's close to home. I can always get home, you know, within 4 hours. So I'm kind of torn on moving.
I wish I could get home in 4 hours. It takes me 9 hours to get home. I have a whole full-on out concert for 9 hours.
See, I would have to fly. I can't.
I think I'm gonna start flying pretty soon because it's ridiculous. But I'm not gonna lie, my first year here, I was so homesick. And there were so many different things happening with the students. And I was like, oh my God, like this. And I remember telling my assistant principal, she was saying something to me about something. I was like, they want me to come back to work where I'm from. I move. They want me back there.
Ready to go.
I move. Like, because it was just so crazy. But I think this past year, I've thought a little bit about going back. This past school year. How about that? Not this past year, but this past school year. I thought about moving back to Mississippi, and then I was like, nah, I don't think that's the tea. My friend, who is my assistant principal, Adrian White, shout out to Adrian Wright. She's the principal at, she's the new principal of the Heidelberg Middle School, and she is also the executive director for the nonprofit Rise in Mississippi, where they are helping teachers, people who are aspiring to be teachers but are having trouble with the practice and all that stuff. They help them with those things. So, shout out. Just wanted to plug her right quick. But she called me and she was like, you know, there's a couple of jobs down here. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I need to go back home.
No.
And I was like, no. Like, I gotta stick it out. I'm going to move.
You done made it so far. Don't go back. Don't backtrack.
And it like, I was like you with the feeling of, like, I didn't do certain things that I should have done at first. Because when I first moved out here, like I said, the first year, I was so homesick that once I started, I was out here from July to September. When September came, every month I was at home. And then we had a lot of death in our family too during that particular year. So when the death started happening, I was going back home. I was always at home. And they probably was like, oh, she finna move back to Mississippi.
She coming back. She homesick. She coming back.
Yeah, exactly. But
I was like, I'm gonna try it again because I don't want to quit. But recently with my so how Lynn and I met, we're in this group called Women of Business.
Women of Business.
It's on Facebook, and it's just a group of women who get in there and we share different resources, uplift each other, push each other. So one of the young ladies in there, I think her name is Monica, she said, you know, like, what if we got together for a brunch and just vibe? She just wanted good energy. And we were all like, sure, like, we want to hang around people with good energy, chill, talk, you know, especially with this pandemic. I don't think many of us have been anywhere.
Oh.
At all. Like, that was like my first, besides me going to Mississippi, that was my first real outing.
Outing, right. Me too.
So that's how Lynn and I met. It was like, what, last Saturday?
Yeah, last Saturday.
Last Saturday. And that was really nice. We went to this place called Lost and Found.
Lost and Found, Midtown.
Yep. And it was so, when I still don't know why that giraffe, was that a giraffe or a zebra?
A zebra.
The zebra. I still don't know why that was in the middle of the place, but but it was really nice.
Right. The place was nice. It had a good vibe.
Yeah, it had a really, really nice vibe. But the point that I was trying to make, though, was that I think God placed me here for me to, like, prosper and spread my wings. But the first year, I was so stressed out and sad and sick that I couldn't see what he was doing. Then the second year, I was trying to find my place within the school. The third year, I had found my place and was doing X, Y, and Z things in the school. And I wasn't trying to start a business. I kept saying that I was going to do it my third year and did nothing. I take that back. I went and got my EIN number. I went and got my business permit. I did that my third year. And then my fourth year came, and Satan reared his ugly head. And now I just, like, I met different people. I'm gonna tell you, I think I've told this story before, but my production manager was in my class, and he was talking about somebody else's business, and I think I asked him to help me do something. And he was like, oh yeah, Miss Miles, I can help you do this and I can help you do that. And I just started saying, if this baby can do all this work, like, have a complete business, be running it. He gets paid through PayPal, Square, Apple Pay. You know what I'm saying? This baby got all this stuff going on, and he's 17, and I'm 55. Why can't this? I'm not 55, but I'm just saying. If he can do that, I can do that. So that was like a push for me to, like, push and go and, like, do my business, and also to stay, because I was like, that's what it's meant for me to do. I'm meant to do something here. Like, to branch out here. What do you feel about branching out and venturing out outside of nursing? Are you still at the same job that you were when you first moved here? Or how have you elevated since you've been here?
So, I'm not at the same job anymore. Actually, I haven't been really working this year because I got hurt. So, I've been off of work. So, what I started doing on the side was taxes. So, I'm a tax preparer. I have worked from January to July. And then Trump still want to extend this a little longer for us. So we still working right now. So that was the first thing I did. And then now I'm working on my online store, which should be done really soon. I have all my merchandise and everything. I'm just still working out the kinks of my website and things like that right now.
My production manager, he does websites.
Okay.
Some help, and he's reasonably priced. So I'm just saying, you know, I like to plug everybody.
No, I need all the help I can get.
Well, I'm just gonna be really honest. I ain't do nothing but go on there and say, look, so this color right here, can we change this color? I don't. He runs my website because I don't know no better. He be trying to teach me. He'll show me something, and I'd be like, okay. And I have it for that day, and then after that, it'll be gone. I'd be like, Anthony, can you get on the phone right quick?
Right.
So we can go through X, Y, and Z. But yeah, that's awesome. Do you want to, can you share the name of your business, or? It's okay if you can't. We'll bring her back when she is ready to lunch.
We're going to bring her back for the lunch.
We're going to bring her back for the lunch. That's what we're going to do. Yes. Is there somewhere if someone wanted to do their taxes or still needed to do taxes, is there a way that they could contact you?
Facebook, maybe. That'd probably be the best place to contact me.
Facebook? It's Lynn Jones.
Lynn Jones on Facebook. LynnJones. But hopefully y'all don't need y'all taxes done. But if y'all do, I will do one.
She's like, wait a minute, I'm not doing taxes
Look,
anymore.
I'm tired.
It's August.
These tax clients will drive you crazy.
Seriously?
I don't think people understand. Like, it's a very frustrating career. I mean, the money good. Don't get me wrong. Like, you can make your whole salary in 4 months. But it's very full. Yeah, you can.
I need to learn how to cut taxes.
I know. And it's like everybody now around me like, oh, I want to get into it. Like, can we open an office? Can we do this? I'm like, y'all weren't trying to do nothing at first. Now you see me getting a little bag over here. Now you want to try to jump in. But I was like, okay, I'll plug y'all in, I guess.
Okay. So where have you thought about moving to since you said you thought about, because there are so many people that want to go different places. Like, I think after I come back from Mississippi, I'm going to do a little traveling around Texas. Like, I'm going to go to Dallas. I've already been to Galveston, but I do want to go again, but I'm scared because I think Galveston is like a hot spot.
It is for COVID.
For COVID. And I want to go to Austin because initially I wanted to move to Austin before I wanted to move to Houston. But I was like, I think Houston is the spot.
Houston's the better choice than Austin, I think.
Do you think Houston is better than Dallas?
Yes. I mean, people ask my opinion all the time. Like, would you suggest Houston over Dallas? I'll pick Houston any day. Like, Dallas not as fast as it is here. And I like the fast life. Like, the slow country, boring Louisiana life, that's over with. Like, now I like the fast life, so.
And that's why I like to stay over here, because it's so quiet. And it's like it reminds me of home.
Yeah.
So it's like,
oh, so I see you still in your comfort zone.
That's what
you
it is.
You gotta get out of there.
I gotta get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to buy a house, so hopefully I buy my house, I'm gonna buy one in Humble.
Okay.
Because I heard it's
a nice area.
Yeah.
Tascosa, Humble area. It's very nice.
Yeah. But it has a lot of perks for new development, is what I was told by a realtor.
A lot of new developments out there.
So
it's building.
They doing really good work out there, but yeah. But this, I always try to find like a little. So you never try to find like a little piece of home wherever you go, just to like give you that sense of comfort.
Some food, because it's hard to find good.
They don't do it like it here though. Like good
stuff. Some places you can find, like, it's really hard. Like, it has taken me a long time, and I always try to find a good daiquiri shop. Like, that's my thing, daiquiris. Mm. That is the hardest thing to find in Houston, because they making these daiquiris with wine and champagne. That ain't how it go in Louisiana.
Now, them do say that champagne shower the other day.
Oh, that was good. You said.
I ran up out of there because I was so, oh my God.
Yeah, two of them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the time I got to my car, I thought I was gonna throw up. And I said, Lord have mercy. And my student called me from Mississippi. She wanted to fuss on the phone. I said, girl, don't nobody want to talk to you. Like, what is going on? Miss Miles, don't do da-da-da. And I got this little thing that hangs in my car where I can place my phone. So I put her up there. She was like, well, what's wrong with you? I was like, look, I shouldn't have been day drinking. What do you need help with?
See, that's the fun thing. Like, you can party all the time out here. And I ain't just saying I'm a big party goer, but you know, I like to have fun.
Yeah.
You probably can't do that like nowhere else, like you can do in Houston. I think the party scene is just different.
I want to go to Prospect Park.
You never been?
Oh,
girl.
I've heard so much about it.
Look how he looks. You done been to Prospect Park,
yeah. Wait a minute.
I'm about to say, right. Who has it?
Wait a minute.
You ain't had that crawfish either?
No.
She has not been, period.
I haven't been at all. And some people like, go there. Because one of my friends was saying, you can go there. It be so many nice men there. Da, da, da. And I was like, girl.
It do. But it be a lot of Africans, too. I don't know what it is about the African. I ain't got nothing against the African community, but it be so many of them out. Like, what?
What you talking about?
What y'all looking for? I think they do, but you know, I think African men are just so aggressive. They very like pushy. They want what they want. What they want, they want to see you when they want to see you. Type men.
Oh wow,
girl. So you go to Prospect, that's what you're gonna run into.
This is what I'm running. I just want some food and some drinks. Food and some good drinks.
And a little hookah.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good
ride. We're gonna have to go one day.
We are. Cause that's all I like to do. I like to chill. Like vibe. Like, I don't know. Moving out here, getting acclimated to being out here. Cause, like, you know, people always say, like, oh, it's a certain time frame where you should do X, Y, and Z. By this age, you should have had this and you should have.
No.
I was like, no, like, for me, I have to sit with stuff. I have to, if I'm trying to change something about myself, and which was another reason for me moving, was I I kept telling myself that I couldn't settle for mediocrity. And I'm not saying that where I'm from or what I was doing was mediocre. I'm saying that where I was from and what I was doing, I had reached the echelon of where I could be there. There was no more opportunity for me there, and I had to leave. And it was stressful as hell for me to leave because I'm from a big family and all of my family stays there. So I'm like the auntie that goes to the basketball games, baseball games. I'm the crazy auntie that's screaming on the side, go this, go that, or whatever. And I got out here and began to miss everything. Couldn't catch a basketball game. Couldn't catch my nephew's football games because they were on Friday nights and we don't get out of school till 3. I'm 9 hours away. I wouldn't make it. So it was like, I had to get used to that change. And for a lot of people, when you move, it is so different because you have to get used to that, especially like if you're close to your family. Like, you were lucky. You moved out here with your parents. Are you an only child?
No.
Are your siblings out here?
I got siblings. I got one sibling here.
How was that for you, like being able? So was it hard for you to move out here? Like, did that bother you, or was it like you were like,
this is what I gotta do. This is what, you know, I ain't second guess it at all. Like, I knew I wasn't for Louisiana. Like, I knew I wasn't meant to be there. Like, something just, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how would I do what I'm doing now if I was still there?
Exactly.
Like, there's no room for growth. And like you say, like, when you at a job or something, like, those same people be there for 30 years and retire. So it's like anybody trying to come in new, they probably wouldn't get the job, or it's, you know, whoever you know.
Yep.
To get a job around there, so.
It's really crazy, and like people be, I think sometimes, like I know a couple of people now that are like moving to different states and different places because they're trying to change. They're trying to upgrade their life.
Right.
And sometimes you get so much pushback from so many people for doing different things like that or whatever. And it discourages people from going. And I'm like, nobody was upset with me moving this time. When I went out to Alcorn, my mom was like, I wanted you to go to Valium. No. No, man, I was not going
even
to Valium.
Even worse, girl. Glad you did.
Shout out to the HBCUs, baby. Shout out to the HBCUs. But she was not having that. She was real upset that I didn't go to Valley. But she got over it after that first year when she realized I wasn't coming back. When she realized I was for real,
yeah.
She was like, okay, she down there. But moving out here, when I moved out here, everybody was for it. And I think it's so like important to have like some type of support saying like, hey, you doing it. You know, people be like, why do you need somebody to say da da da? It's because it just like gives you just a little bit more of a push. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't need anybody to say, Akila, go. I was going anyway. Like, I had already made up my mind. But that extra push, that extra support is like a something that uplifts you, like gives you power,
right?
Almost to do what you want to do, and people should want to be that. Did you have a plan for when you got out here, or was it just like, I'm gonna get out here, I'm just gonna make it happen?
No plan, just everything started falling into place. I just prayed about it, like, you know, God, see me through this, watch me, you know, get everything that I'm asking you for, and I got it.
With you moving, is there anything that you would tell people? You'd be like, is there anything that you would like tell people? Like, hey, I did, when I first moved, I did X, Y, and Z, and I hate I did that. If I could change that, I would change that. But everything else is good.
What I would say to people who are thinking of moving here, have some money. Like, save money before you come. Make sure you have a job before you come. Don't just come. Like, it's a lot of people I see from Louisiana come all the time. They don't have no money saved. I mean, they just don't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
They just come. You know, they got just one plan, plan A. They ain't got plan B, C, D. Like, you need all those plans in order just to move here, because it's not like back home. You know, your comfort zone where, you know, your rent might be $500. Like, here, you finna pay, you know, $1,100, $1,200 for a two-bedroom. So, it's different. So, if you're not used to that, and you think you're gonna come here and live, you're not. You're gonna be going back home. I hate to say it, but that's the reality.
That's the
reality. Like, you have to have some money saved, because you don't know what's gonna happen. What if you lose that job that you got? What if your car break down? You ain't got nobody here. To help you, like, you know, then you got to learn the Houston transportation system. Like, that's a lot.
What? Baby, when I moved here from Mississippi, my rent in Mississippi was $540. You want $540. It was a one bedroom, nice apartment. $540. We were down here, my bread was $1,100. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, wait a minute. You say $1,100?
Right, right.
You ain't got no $10. No, I'm taking that back. It was $1,050.
Close enough.
It was $1,050. But I was like, oh my God. Like,
it's real.
And my god sister, she was like, yeah, my god sister moved to Louisiana from Mississippi and her rent went to like 9 something, and she just had a 1 bedroom. But I was like, oh my god, like, it is so expensive. And my dad came and visited me like 2 years ago. He was like, you need to downsize. And I was like, why? He was like, you got 2 bedrooms and ain't nobody in the other bedroom. And I was like, nope.
Right, that's the storage.
Exactly. And I've had people do come visit now, so it's another room for them to sleep in. I don't want nobody to have to sleep on a couch. And I was like, I remember telling a friend, I was like, Lord, we were talking on the phone, and I was like, man, I slept in my guest bedroom the other night. I said, I was so excited. And he was like, why? I was like, shit, nigga, I stayed in a shack. Well, I'm gonna move us to Mississippi. We stayed in a shack where you could see through the roof, and you had to put the pots and pans on the floor so you could catch the water when it rained. And I stay in a, I got a 2-bedroom house.
Right.
2 bathroom, and I can invite people over and they can stay. I was so excited. I was like, I said, you know what? I slept in there for 3 days. And I did. I did sleep in my room for 3 days and slept in my guest bedroom because I was just so excited that I had a guest bedroom. You know, like, just thinking about, like, I moved myself from different things. Like, we didn't have a bad life. My mom, when we moved back to Mississippi, my mom moved into my grandmother's older house, and it was like an old house. So we moved in there, and I just think about, I had a coworker the other day, he shared this post, and he said, why do y'all have to have so many shoes? And I was like, yes, that's a childhood trauma. And he said, I'm trying to calculate this. I don't understand what you're saying. And I was like, my mama had 8 kids. So it was like, you got shoes a certain time of the year. And that was that. Like, right. you got them shoes for school. That got some little summer kicks. And that was it, you know? So I got up and got money. And I was like, oh, you say I can have a pair of shoes for each outfit, huh?
Right.
And then my mama had taught me how to shop because, you know, she'd go to dealers and the first thing you do is you hit the sales rack. So I was like, I know how to do all this stuff, so I'm going to do it. But for me, I think I would share with people, similar to you, I think the most important thing is to have a plan. Like, whatever it is, if you got money saved up and you are going to come out here and look for a job, go ahead and plan out what jobs you're looking for, like what businesses you're going to go to. And then have, like Lynn said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Stop right there, P. Have them many plans.
Yes.
Because there's no telling, like, what could happen. My car was stolen. I thank God for the people who supported me, because when my truck was stolen, I stood outside in the spot where the glass was at, where they broke my window at. It was pouring down rain. I just stood there saying, I was on the phone like, where is my truck? Like, my truck is really gone. Where is my truck? And I was on the phone with this person the night before, and I was like, I just hope my little truck just float away. I said, look, I'm gonna look out the window, little truck just gonna be floating on down the line because it rains so hard out here. And got up and the truck was gone. I was like, did I speak to this
existence? You did.
Did I speak to existence? And baby floated right on the way, honey. The little boys was living their life. They had the truck for a whole month. Well, a day shy of a month. Yeah. But I would say, like, that I think the biggest thing is to, like, have that joker planned out. That money, you will need some money. If you ain't got no job, though, if you ain't got no, I think if you don't have, like, at least a skeleton plan, A, B, C, D, it could be really taxing when you get out here. Because it's city living is different. It's completely different from country living because there is a multiplicity of places that you have to go. There is a multiplicity of places that are zoned to X, Y, and Z area. You got to make sure you know that area. I don't know shit about none of this stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I go, oh, where the north side at? I know I ain't on the north side. I'm nowhere near it. Is there anything that you would like to share? Well, I take that back. So, before we close out, we like to do Sass Talk. And Sass Talk is where we give them some sassy advice that somebody has either once given us or something sassy that we've come up with.
know if it's really sassy, but back when I played sports, I always had a coach that would say, you know, seize the moment right then and there. So I kind of live by that, like carpe diem.
Okay.
Live by that. Because, I mean, if you don't, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities in life. Like when the opportunity hits you, take it. Like do all you can to fulfill your dreams.
Awesome. I love the carpe diem. That was like my favorite little line in college. Carpe diem. I read a poem about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, seize the day. All right. So my sass talk is going to be, I think, so recently there's been a string of things happening within my circle, like the group of people that I am the closest to. And my God, I'm sorry. There's been like a string of things that have like happened, like to the people in my circle and like myself. And like thinking about that, my sass talk would be like, one monkey don't stop the show, and whatever you got to do, go. And what I mean by that is if somebody like hindering you from getting to where you got to go, doing what you got to do or whatever, you got to drop that monkey off your back. You don't need it. Like I know Michael Jackson had a little, didn't he have a pet monkey? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a pet monkey, Bubbles. Mm-hmm. If you ain't got somebody that act like Bubbles, that love Michael, was always there for Michael, with Michael, if you don't have nobody like that, you need to let that monkey go. And like she said, carpe diem, seize the day, keep going forward. There's so many different things happening, from people losing their lives to COVID, to COVID-19 stopping jobs, to like just a plethora of things just happening. Go. If it's you want to go take a ride down the coast, go. You live close to Austin, Texas, and you want to see it for the first time, go. Whatever it is, go. And like if God put something in y'all's spirit, listen to him. Like he know what he's talking about. You might not know what you're getting ready to do or how you're getting ready to do it, but if he put it in your spirit that it's going to happen, trust and believe it's going to happen as long as you put the work into it. I am so excited and thankful that Lynn came out. I hope that you think, did you have a good time your first time on here?
I did. I loved it. I shall return.
I love that. I can't wait for you to come back and do your lunch on here for your business. I'm going to so excited to see that, because I know that's going to be awesome. Hopefully, hopefully by then, I will have published my second book and also have my store completely up and running, because mm-hmm. I had Anthony doing all their work and it's still just on hold, ain't it, Anthony?
Why is it on hold? What are y'all doing?
I'm waiting on. I've been trying to find different pieces that I want for my boutique. You know how you just have like this certain look that you want, this certain vibe? And it's been so tough like finding those pieces. Like there's so many different vendors on Fashion Go and Orange Shine, mm-hmm. and like trying to power through those vendors and read through
it's a lot.
Like your work for your job, mm-hmm. and like clear your mind and help your nieces and nephews or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or
it's
have
hard.
A life. You know, it's so I found some pieces, but I wanted to have like a full collection. And what I've decided to go ahead and do is just do a soft launch first and then do a build out. I think that way it'll be better. Because otherwise, it's just going to be sitting there forever and ever.
Coming soon.
Just still saying coming. It don't even say coming soon, do it. Because you didn't publish those edits, right?
It should say coming soon.
For real?
The boutique coming this summer. That's what it say.
Oh, summer over.
Summer's gone, baby. You get them lies off that site now. You get them lies off this. After saying they jumping soon, come this summer, 2020 summer is gone, baby. COVID.
Video.
Mm-hmm. COVID did that. I'm sorry, y'all. It was all COVID. COVID in my mind. But Lynn, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate you. I can't wait to have you back. Just let me know when you get ready, when you want to come back, and I'm excited to have you in the studio, y'all. It was a blessing to have people in here. And
oh, girl,
that's me. You just messy. Oh my God. Now, y'all, tell me, we laughed at a production manager done put this thing up here talking about something coming soon, that's summer 2020.
That's your website. Coming soon.
I called it a thing so when nobody go to the website, look at it.
We'll change
that
tonight.
Oh my God. It ain't gonna be up there when y'all go look at it, because he gonna change it. Nan. But
Thank y'all for joining. Please, please come back. Please, please come back. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm getting text messages from people, and I'm like looking at my watch, like, what is going on? But thank y'all so much for joining us tonight. We're so excited to be back in the studio. After this, you will see the 27th episode is going to be another Zoom episode. But we're going to try to do a couple of more of these in-house episodes when we can. You know, we got to stay cautious and protected. Y'all stay cautious and protected out there. And thank y'all so much for being a part of 30-something and Virgin. We will see you all on episode 27.